This is Chasing Wisdom, your source for conversation and serious ideas for those striving to become wiser leaders in business. Your host is Dr. Sam Serto. Sam is the Steinmetz Professor of Management in the Graduate School of Business at Rollins College in Winter Park, Florida. He also serves as a leader at Northland, a church distributed located in Central Florida. Along with leaders from various fields, our goal is to provide practical wisdom for those navigating real-world business challenges. Welcome to this conversation about how to become a wiser leader in business, Bible, and life.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Sam Serto, and you're listening to the Chasing Wisdom podcast. Here, leaders talk about business, Bible, and life to help all of us become wiser leaders. Today, our guest is Dr. Randall Allen Loy. Dr. Loy serves as managing partner of the Center for Reproductive Medicine in Orlando, Florida. A highly respected reproductive endocrinologist and infertility specialist, he received his baccalaureate degree in English from the University of California, Los Angeles, before earning his medical degree from the Medical College of Georgia. Following postgraduate training at the Georgia Regents University Hospitals, he had fellowship training at Harvard Medical School and Yale School of Medicine. Dr. Loy has written on several topics in reproductive medicine and has developed and patented several innovative medical and non-medical products. Although he enjoys travel, photography, skiing, cooking, he delights in spending time with his wife, Julie, and their four sons. Randall, it's great to have you here today.
Thank you so much, Dr. Serto. I appreciate being here.
Well, it's a real pleasure, and it's noteworthy that you have been actually recognized a number of times as a top doctor by U.S. News & World Report, as well as the Orlando Top Doctors Association. So,
yeah, my mother gives me those awards. So.
Awesome. Okay, one thing that we might all be interested in is a little bit of your patent experience. Mm-hmm. What kind of products are you?
Mostly surgical products, and these are humble ideas that just kind of somehow surfaced to the top. But one of the ones that was fairly successful was just an organizer for endoscopic surgery that sits on the so-called Mayo stand from which the surgical techs deliver instruments. And in a low-lighted surgical theater, it's difficult to tell the different instruments because they all have the same scissor type handle but different tips. And so a particular surgeon could take what we call the endo organizer. It was a big autoclavable plastic box really that organized instruments according to the doctor's preferences, according to the surgical procedure. And it won a couple of international awards and made a little bit of money on that.
Terrific.
Yeah. And a number of the other, so I have two areas of interest. One is medical, and I've come up with, I think at one point I had 19 patent applications simultaneously, but most of those have been medical, surgical, and some have been related to ski and ski toys, that sort of thing.
Okay.
Yes, no skiing.
Good. Our listeners are interested in leadership and Bible and how those two fit together. And I think so we can have a good conversation, it might be wise at this point to define what an endocrinologist is.
Yeah, an endocrinologist is one who studies the endocrine organs, for example, the pituitary, the thyroid, the adrenals, the gonads, and their effects on the rest of the body.
And when your entire practice is focused on this, and tell us about the organization itself.
Right.
And its presence in the community and how it functions.
Great. My particular specialty is reproductive endocrinology and infertility, and most people would know that as practically test tube babies, which is a good portion of what we do. Our practice was founded in the fall of 1985, and we've been in continuous operation for 31-plus years at this point. We have 75 employees, six full-time physicians, several nurse practitioners, three different offices, actually one north in Lake Mary. Our hub is in Orlando, and then south in Celebration, Florida, and it's like herding a bunch of cats. We have, this afternoon we've dedicated the whole afternoon to a town hall meeting. I'm just going to get everybody back on the same page. It's important, of course, as you well know, to keep the vision the same, keep the brand the same.
And you're the managing partner?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So when you say a town hall meeting, this is an employee meeting with all your your locations?
Yes.
All 75?
Yes.
People will be there and so forth. And tell us about the topic. What kind of vision is there?
Well, we're moving into a new facility, and that's creating a lot of anxiety. So we're doubling our space. And so I want to just bring everybody on board and tell them about the future. I think really being a leader, and I'm certainly no expert on this, but I think it's always being able to forecast a better vision of the future. And so we're providing them new space, better working conditions, and I think we can alleviate their anxieties about that. We also have some personnel changes, and I just want to make sure that everybody realizes that nobody's being fired. It's all been elective leaving and this sort of thing. So I think communication's key, and as long as people feel like they have some input into what's going on, they have a modicum of control, then they feel empowered.
I can see a lot of smiles on the listeners' faces right now because they're dealing with a lot of the same things in non-medical situations.
Right.
Tell us about how you communicate this and how your leadership style reflects your faith and your belief in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that it comes from a point, and it sounds trite maybe to say this, but it's one of humility. I try not to ask anybody to do anything that I wouldn't want to do myself, and I try to listen to everybody. I try to be engaged with each of our employees. So when we get into a group situation, it's not as if I'm talking from Mount Olympus down to the valley. I'm actually talking one-on-one with each one of those people.
One of the things that, in our preparation for this, and we exchange materials, one of the things that pops out in my mind is you talk about providing compassion. And I would think this is compassion for patients that you have, but also compassion within. And your voice reflects that right now as you talk about your town hall that's coming up. How does compassion fit into the mission of your organization? What do you mean by compassion?
Right. Well, I think the word itself means to have passion with, to be able to be emotionally engaged with someone's pain. And incidentally, my wife and I had infertility. We were married for 13 years before our first son was born, and we went through all the trials and tribulations of what my patients have gone through. So on a number of occasions through the years, patients would say to me, have said to me, you know, you don't know about this, but this is really a difficult journey. You can't identify with us. They assume that I don't get it. And I say, well, in actual fact, you've been trying to have a baby for 3 years. My wife and I tried for 13 years before we were successful. So I think that's compassion. And I have come up the hard way. I was the son of a pastor, and we didn't have a whole lot and moved a lot. He was a missionary as well. So I get it. I know what living on beans and macaroni and cheese is all about.
And being able to cook it.
Yeah, exactly.
We have a feature in each podcast called Sunday to Monday, and it has to do with how do you take a verse or something you might hear on a Sunday in church and move it through your business life or your organizational life, whatever it might be. And one verse that comes to mind that sort of services this message that you're talking about is Luke 10:33, and it's about the Good Samaritan, and saying that, but a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. And the rest of the story is helped him along with the pain and anguish that he was suffering. Is that something that you can see as a motive for you in dealing, not with patients now, but with staff?
I think so. I think the compassion element comes back. I had, and you didn't know this, of course, but a poignant example. I had an employee came to me yesterday in tears. She's been working with us for 14 years, and she said her best friend's son, a little 10-year-old baseball player in the community, died of fulminant meningitis. And she was showing me his pictures and some of the tributes on Facebook. And right there at the nurse's station, we both just broke down. I mean, we just, you know, here's somebody's little, only boy in the family, only child.
Wow.
And he's gone. You know, there's no way not to have compassion with that sort of thing.
And that's real feeling, and that's real emotion, and it's a sharing of the grief in a sense. And that's something that we should all do. And as we look forward to organizations and organizational life, what is the fulcrum to organizational impact that the relationship between a follower and a leader has in that kind of a circumstance?
I think perhaps, and I'm again no expert on this particular question, but I think the leader-follower roles fall off at that point, and we just get down to our essences of who we are. We're human beings who suffer very similarly.
And then once past that and getting back to work,
right.
Then the work is expedited because of the personal relationship
that
is there, very definitely. All right, good. I have been to your YouTube channel. He's laughing right now. I know you can't see that.
That's too much suffering.
Yeah, but you may want to try it yourself. There's a lot of good information there. It's youtube.com/user/infertilitychannel. And there are some good stories there, good information there. And one that was sort of humorous for me is one that deals with a friend of yours that actually was involved with cadavers in sort of a interesting way. Would you explain
yes.
that a little bit?
Absolutely. Well, my former partner just retired. The way he kind of got himself through the medical school years, he supplemented his subsistence living with acquiring cadavers for the anatomy lab so that he would go around his little VW bug and he would go pick up the cadaver. And there's no good way in a bug to put a cadaver. You couldn't strap them on the roof. So he would dress him up in a trench coat, a fedora, and dark glasses and buckle him in and then take him through the city streets. And nobody was ever the wiser.
It's a good thing he wasn't stopped for a ticket or something of that nature. Good. One thing that we've also communicated about is anger, and anger that you come in contact with and see it as sort of a sign of within maybe society itself.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, as an endocrinologist, I see a lot of anger related directly to testosterone, so I always want to check a good testosterone level on my patients, especially if they're hairy. I'll go ahead and just...
Hairy, go right ahead.
Seriously, probably most of the wars in history have been at least in part attributable to testosterone. But more seriously, I do think that there has been a general loss of civility in our society. Perhaps more Western than Eastern societies reflect this. I think that people get frustrated by mundane things and tend to then transfer that frustration to other people who might be completely innocent. I come across a lot of anger in my practice, people who are frustrated by their infertility, frustrated by all the money they may have already spent, and now they're coming to me. And mm-hmm. when I suggest something, a lot of times I get an immediate anger response rather mm-hmm. than listening.
How do you deal with that?
I try to diffuse the anger really by just telling them that I'm trying to help them, and I really have an interest in doing so. And if they just follow what I'm telling them, the chances are likely that they'll be successful.
Eleanor Roosevelt once said that anger is only one letter away from danger, if you put a D in front of it. What dangers are there in expressing anger?
Well, if anger is uncontrolled, we know that from a physiological point of view that it shortens lives. Too much in the way of stress hormones actually has damage to the heart and the brain. And as Pastor Hunter has been telling us, we really can rewire our neuronal circuitry. We become who we think. We become what we read. Whatever we incorporate, whatever we ingest, we become.
There's also a verse that is kind of interesting in this regard. It's Proverbs 29:11. It says, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. And almost being concerned that there's going to be a negative reaction to that anger from the other person mm-hmm. in some way. It's kind of an interesting thing from a leadership perspective. When I look at your role in your practice, medical director is one title, managing partner is another, practicing physician is yet a third.
Yes.
Many of our listeners wear different hats. What do we have to be concerned about in going from hat to hat?
Wow, that's a great question. I guess the hats are probably more often worn together than separately. I think there have to be seamless transitions. I'll be between patients, and I'm asked a question that, like, I was flying between patients yesterday. We're building the new building, and I have one of my assistants coming down the hall said, we need a decision right now on this. It's going to be about a $20,000 swing if we go with one company rather than the other. And I'm trying to get the particulars of this and make an on-the-fly decision, literally. So I think that being a leader is probably messy. It's not very well contained, has no definite time constraints to it. it's just you wear the hat you have to wear at the moment.
And the priority goes up and down depending
always.
Upon the situation.
It's always moving. Yeah, it's a difficult calculus. You know, which hat to wear when.
And as you do that, I would guess the important thing is to maintain focus on where you are, which hat you have on, and not allowing people to see that what they're approaching you about is unimportant
right.
because you're involved with another hat, so you're kind of changing them all the time.
Yeah, for example, you know, it's always said that physicians run late, and that's often true, but when we're battling I-4 and I'm trying to wear two other hats at the same time as seeing a very, very busy schedule, it's not uncommon to run 10 or 15 minutes late.
Especially around here.
Right.
One verse that I know is important to you is Acts 20:24.
Right.
Explain that verse to us. Give us a little bit of the content view of it and how it fits into your role as person, leader,
mm-hmm.
Christian.
Well, here Paul is basically stating that the purpose of his life is to make the grace of God known, the wonderful good news. And he would fail if he does not succeed in that assigned mission. So we all have that assigned mission. We all have assess are our lives doing what they were made to do? Fish swim effortlessly. Birds fly effortlessly. Are we doing what we were made to do?
And when you go through different experiences, those things you're made to do become apparent. And one of the things I'm reflecting on is your transition from one type of practice to another. And you list that as one of your most difficult leadership circumstances.
Right.
And what were some of the challenges that you had to face in doing it? It was, tell us about the situation.
Sure. So we have a corporate partner, if you will. It's a physician practice management company with whom we've been involved since September of 2007. Their representations have not necessarily been met. So goods and services that were to be provided have not been.
Mm-hmm.
So short of a breach of contract, and we tried to hold their feet to the fire, and we got into some legal battles, and we were spending a lot of money every year, and we kind of lost our focus as a company because of the legal wranglings, and we started losing employees. Certainly revenue was down, and we kind of took our eye off the ball, and that ball always should be in our business, the patient. And so we kind of lost focus, and I said, it's probably time after several years of legal maneuverings to just compromise and figure out how we can go to a decent plan B. And that's what we did.
And when both are able to do that and each is confronted and you come up with a solution, it's probably the best thing for both parties.
It indeed was. I mean, they asked us to do some things, which we've complied with. We've asked them to be more accountable and to actually respect the contract, which they've done in large part. We now have an out of the contract if things don't go well, and we didn't have that before. So I think it was a win-win.
I hate to say this, but your 20 minutes is up.
Sorry.
it's gone by quickly, but we want to end with a pearl of wisdom. And that pearl of wisdom is what morsel would you like to leave to somebody right now who is on their walk or running or whatever when they go to the office? They can say, I remember this. I'm going to use this.
Right. It's the old Dutch proverb that which is heaviest must weigh the most. So our first priority has to be first, and second priority is probably not at all, to paraphrase Peter Drucker.
When you look at this and you put that into your practice, how does it suit your practice?
That's a great question. The patient in hearing their story and making their story part of my story has to be paramount. First things first, and the other hats second, third.
It's kind of like make the main thing the main thing.
That's it.
And keep it there.
That's it.
Keep it there. Unfortunately, Dr. Loy, time is up. Thank you so much for being here today. Listeners can find Dr. Loy with the email address. Let me spell it out for you. randallaloy@gmail.com. Thanks to all of you for being here on Wisdom Wednesday. You can keep in touch with me on Facebook at chasing.wisdom or my website, chasewisdom.com. For my Chasing Wisdom book, today's question to ask yourself is this: can I focus more on being slow to anger? If you can, you'll be surprised at what happens to your leadership. I'll see you all next Wednesday. In the meantime, remember, keep on chasing. God bless.
You've been listening to Chasing Wisdom with host Dr. Sam Serto. We would love to hear from you regarding this podcast. You can reach us at northlandchurch.net/chasingwisdom. We will be here each Wednesday with a fresh look at being a wiser leader in business, Bible, and life. Want to reach out to Dr. Serto? Email him at sserto@rollins.edu.